So nonviolent communication involves sharing what's alive in us and what would make life more wonderful, and to receive the same information from other people, to connect with what's alive in them and what would make life more wonderful for them. And it has been my experience that when we connect at this level, what's alive in each other and what would make life more wonderful for each other, and we avoid the following, we can find ways of getting everyone's needs fulfilled compassionately. But we need to avoid the following. First, we need to avoid any language that sounds like criticism or blame or insults. Next, we need to avoid presenting our request to others in which they hear as a demand. I have found through my working with people over the years that any time people hear criticism or demands, makes it very difficult for people to enjoy contributing to one another's well-being. So nonviolent communication suggests that we avoid at all times the following strategies for trying to influence people to do what we are requesting. We want people to know that we never want anything done that we request out of guilt or shame created by criticism they hear coming from us. I believe that any time we influence people by criticism, blame, insults, even if they do what we request, it will be very costly to us, because then they're not giving compassionately from the heart. They're giving to avoid shame or guilt. And giving done out of that energy, I believe, is costly to both parties in any relationship. Nonviolent communication also suggests that we avoid at all times any use of punishment. Now that shocks many people around the world that I work with. They have the idea that without punishment you have anarchy, you'll have violence, you'll have all kinds of horrible things happen. They believe that the only way you can have order is through a justice system in which people are punished if they don't do what the authorities think is right. In subsequent sessions, I will show how we can resolve conflicts without any kind of punishment. But that's not easy for many people to feel comfortable with that I work with, because they have been in schools, families, governments that are all set up on the basis of retributive justice, the idea that there are certain things you must do, and if you don't do them, then you deserve to suffer for what you have done. And if you do these things which are defined as right by authorities, then you deserve to be rewarded. So when I suggest other alternatives to conflict resolution than punishment and reward, it's enormously shocking to people. One of the things that helps is I say to people that if you ask yourself two questions, you will see that punishment and reward never work. And what are these two important questions? Question number one, if somebody's doing something you don't like, what would you like them to do differently? Now, if you answer only that question, it can lead you to think that punishment sometimes works, because certainly we can all think of evidence, I would guess, of a time when maybe we were influenced to do something out of fear of punishment, or we were able to influence our children to do things that because they were afraid they'd be punished if they didn't. So if you define works as simply getting people to do what you want, punishment sometimes works. But if you ask a second question of yourself, I believe you will see that punishment never works. And what is this second question? What do you want the other person's reasons to be for doing what you request of them? When people ask this second question, what do you want other people's reasons to be for doing what you want them to do? They soon see that any time we get people to do things out of fear that we're going to punish them if they don't, or out of shame or guilt, it's very obvious then that whatever we got that person to do is costly, because we are then experienced as a source of violence, somebody who is prepared to make them suffer if they don't do what we want. And it's pretty obvious to everybody that that is very costly, because to whatever degree people see us as violent rather than compassionate, makes it that much harder for them to enjoy compassionately relating to us. Now, people wonder why I put rewards into this same category of something that, if you ask, what do you want people's reasons to be, that you won't use it. They say, well, aren't rewards nice? Doesn't it make people want to do things? And I say it may motivate people to do things, but that's not getting people motivated to do things out of compassion, out of enjoyment that comes naturally from contributing to people's well-being. Rewards get people to do things out of a whole different energy, not out of a desire to enrich life, but out of a desire to gain something that they want to gain. I like very much Alfie Kohn's book, Punished by Rewards, for clarifying how rewards are equally violent as punishment.